You are listening to the Authentic Hot Wife podcast, where I, a relatively green Australian hot wife in her early 30s, shares my stories, experiences, and reflections of exploring the hot wife lifestyle with my loving partner. This is a podcast about the successes, lessons, and pitfalls of experimenting with consensual, ethical, sexual non-monogamy. This is an adult-only, 18-plus podcast and contains explicit content. Please listen at your own discretion. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 10 of the Authentic Hot Wife podcast. Thank you again for joining me. If you listen to episode 8, this is probably the episode that you're waiting for to see how New Year's Eve panned out. I hope that you were able to check out the interview, that is a very spontaneous interview that I did with a very lovely bull named Sam in episode 9. And I'm sort of excited to share about what happened New Year's Eve. So it was probably not my favorite experience, and I'm actually not going to refer to it as our third encounter. While we did meet someone, it was weird, and I don't want to disrespect the guy because he was a really nice guy, but it was basically the opposite of any hot wife fantasy you would ever have. And I think I can safely say that without offending him if he was ever to randomly stumble upon this podcast, only because he came and met with us out of a sense of novelty and like trying something new without really knowing anything about hot wife. And that was basically on us. So the theme of today is proper sourcing and screening your candidates. I even went as far as making like an infographic because I really wanted to clear my mind about how we actually really should be sourcing, you know, potential candidates. I got a little bit feverish about making this New Year's Eve fantasy come true and made several mistakes, and hubby kind of was like, I think these were just lessons we needed to learn, because he let me take over a little bit. Not really take over, but I don't know. I'll get into it. I'm going to start by going right back to where we were in episode 8. So we'd had this kind of more dominant guy lined up. I messaged him about this fantasy of like, I'm going to wear my collar and then we'll go have a drink. If everything's okay, we'll go back to the hotel room. You know, hubby will put the chain on the collar, and then, you know, I'll kneel by hubby until he's ready to release me to, you know, this dominant third party that we're going to be playing with, that I'm playing with. And, that was really hot to me. The guy was into it as well, but he'd been really like engaged with me for a while. He was sort of pursuing me and showing a lot of interest in the fantasy, and he'd done that kind of thing before, so he was quite experienced. But even in the days after sharing the fantasy, we could feel he was sort of not pulling away, but he was just a little less engaged, which can happen. And so I had messaged him at one point, and you know, it was like, what are you up to tonight? And he said he was on a date, so he'd met a girl off Bumble, which is a dating website. So I suppose that kind of raised a little flag for us, like, oh, he's actively dating at the moment, which is not a problem. But a guy who's actively dating is probably going to make other plans for New Year's Eve if he meets someone. So we left it a few days, and then, you know, we're getting a little, I think we were maybe a week out from New Year's Eve. And I messaged him. Hubby said, hey, you know, just message him and just check with him if he's still okay to go ahead. So I did message him and asked him, you know, if he was still okay to go ahead, and that I was mindful that he was actively dating and that there might be a special lady that he might want to spend the evening with. And he read the message, and then he didn't come back to us till like the next day. And he said Your instincts were on point. I've connected with this girl I've been chatting with on social media for like 3 years. She's like my dream girl, and I plan to be spending New Year's Eve with her. And so we said that's completely fine. Good luck with your special lady. And if it doesn't work out and you still want to meet up, feel free to reach out. And he said he'd definitely stay in touch. So that's what happened with that guy. I don't know. I don't know how confident we were that we would find someone, but we kind of just kept throwing the line out to a few different guys. So there was guys that I had chatted to previously that I'd said, hey, if we ever had like another date lined up, we could reach out to them. So I reached out to a few of those guys. Most had plans, but one guy who I was very physically attracted to from his pictures, but like less attracted to his personality that he was presenting online because he wasn't as engaged. Like I felt like I was kind of pursuing him, and I'll kind of go into that more about I'm figuring out now like what I like, what I don't like, and one of the things I don't like is when there's kind of a lack of courtesy online, like when they don't when they when the guy doesn't put effort into or isn't like engaged, like they just want to be pursued. I don't like that. I still want to be treated like an attractive woman that's worth, a little bit of effort. And so he wasn't putting in much effort in our conversations, but he was, he would entertain conversation. We got to know each other a little bit better. And he said he was available on New Year's Eve. And I was like, oh, okay, all right, this will work. And then we kind of left it at that, but we still kept chatting to other guys. So while that's happening, hubby's still, on RHP, like the dating website that we use, and still sourcing guys and sending them to me. And some guys were okay, but some like would barely even talk to me, or they would send me these really, explicit videos of them being with other wives, and like that's fine, but still charm me. Can we have a conversation, please? And the weirdest thing was those guys would be really engaged when talking to hubby, and then as soon as they'd get in a group chat with me, it was like all courtesy went out the window. They were just, I don't know, I don't know why they behave that way. I just don't understand it. I think they think that that's what would turn me on potentially, or they just don't want to really have to put the effort in. And there's other couples on the website who are into that kind of thing. So I don't know. I don't know. But I'm getting clearer now that like our shtick as a couple, I guess, is that we're like a wholesome couple, and we do like to talk to people, and I like to have a bit of playful banter and, not be like overly explicit, but just flirting and banter is really fun for me. And I like a guy who's going to do that with me. And so some of those guys that were just being really no effort, we just got rid of them. Like, I think that guy that was just sending the video, his hubby jumped into the chat, which he doesn't normally do. Like he'll just read it. But in this instance, he actually jumped in and said to the guy, if you're just going to send videos, it's a no-go. Like, if you're not going to talk to him. And then we just left the chat. And this was all, I guess, coming off the back of an interview that I did with Mr. and Mrs. C in the US. And they're a couple that have been in the lifestyle for a long time. And Mr. C shared with me about his vetting process and how thorough it is. Unfortunately, it appears we have lost that file, so I won't be able to upload the interview, but we're going to go for a redo, and hopefully I'll be able to share that with you guys, because it was really insightful to hear Mr. C's vetting process, and it did get us talking about, like I said to hubby, I was like, I don't want to be talking to these guys. Like if they're just this no effort, aggressive, arrogant, entitled, like I don't want to, that's so not fun for me. And so hubby ended up trying a different way of, basically what he was doing before was doing some basic screeners. We don't work in the same industry. And what else? How much they knew about Hotwife. And then basically from there, like an eating screen, our dynamic. And then it was like, all right, I'll make a group chat with my wife. And then it was really hit and miss as to who was going to be engaging and who wasn't. So then hubby tried a different approach where with a few guys, he was like, he would say things like, oh, you know, the guys on here are hopeless. You know, they've got no game. You know, they don't even try to charm my wife. It's such a joke. and then those guys would be like, oh yeah, I know. They're so like lazy. and then they would have this back and forth about how rubbish all the other guys on the website were. So by the time they got to me, they in this group chat after completely fronting with hubby, so then they had to kind of bring the goods and they had to put effort in. And that worked actually. So I had two guys who were really respectful. They put a lot of effort in. There's a lot of playful banter and flirting. One guy we do currently have a date lined up with in 2 weeks. However, I don't know how to say this. A woman's body is sometimes out of action at certain times of the month. And I'm just realizing now that that's a consideration. So I am not 100% sure. I kind of lost track around where I was on that front. So I am a little bit nervous that it's not going to go ahead for that reason. I'm so sorry if that's an overshare, but it's a consideration and it's the first time I've actually had to consider it. So the chats were going really good. We, in terms of New Year's Eve, we still had this one guy who had a lot of flake potential in the pocket, but we were still trying to, I guess, find other options. Unfortunately, none of the other guys that we spoke to were saying that they were available, but they were happy to meet at a different time. And as I've just said, I've had scheduled a date for a couple weeks with one of them, and the banter with him online has been really hot and fun. We had some really, really hot sex in the lead up to New Year's Eve. We were with family. Fortunately, we were able to visit family after a year of not seeing them because of COVID. And I feel so bad saying it, but like obviously naturally in the background while we're doing all this chatting, you know, when we have downtime, when we're not spending time together, you know, it would get us worked up and hubby would see me being like a bit naughty in the messages. And one guy was coming out with stuff like, he suggested something a bit risque, like a public meeting, like in a car park. And actually the thought of that really turned me on. And so we would, because the bed was a bit squeaky where we were staying, like we would be like on the floor really quietly having really naughty hot sex. And I just felt like I was a teenager again. And that was really fun. So a little bit lost my train of thought here, just thinking about all that nice quiet sex we were having. We went shopping. So, I suppose another thing that was kind of playing on me as well is that I lost a lot of weight this last year and I got down to a really sexy, healthy weight where, I could fit into some of my old dresses and I just felt really, really good. And we took all these beautiful photos of me looking really slim and just in a really healthy weight. And I've gained back maybe 3 or 4 kilos, and that was playing on me and affecting me. And, you know, I didn't feel comfortable in these outfits anymore. So I wasn't sure what I would wear for New Year's Eve. And I was feeling self-conscious. Not that I don't want to be like negative about body image. I think it's natural, I guess, in this scenario. Like I want to be able to put my best foot forward. I want to be able to look sexy and not like for hubby and for the third as well. I want to be desirable and And yeah, it was a little bit of a self-esteem blow, I guess. But we went shopping, so we found a fantastic shop in the place where we were visiting family, and they had all these gorgeous like bandage dresses that just hugged my curves in all the right ways. And we bought some really cute little crop tops. And what else did we buy? A white skirt, a really sexy white short skirt that had a little bit of a slit. And then we bought this beautiful sort of ribbed figure hugging white dress. And that's what I ended up wearing for New Year's Eve. And the white was really popping against my skin. So I'm kind of like a tanned color. Because I'm mixed race, and the white just looked phenomenal. So we went shopping as well, and that was really, really fun. So lots of potential for some great photos and, sexy outfits for our future encounters. I kind of mentioned it in the interview that I did with Sam yesterday about guys being really entitled online, and I think it just really hit me during this process. Like, and Sam said some guys just want sex, like they just think it's just about sex. And for me, definitely like flirting and effort and playful banter is like a must. I don't want to compromise on that right now. I just don't. And I'm just gonna say it. And I don't know if this is the right thing to say, but I'm just gonna say it. I think Australian men don't. They just a bit lazy. Single, let me just clarify that. Single Australian men in their early 30s, like this is basically our target market. Some of them are just lazy. And we kind of pondered this, and after the interview with Sam yesterday, we chatted about it a little bit as well. And I sort of think it's just a cultural thing. Like, American people seem a lot more emotionally and socially aware than Australian people. That's a huge generalization. I would say, particularly where we live, it's a more blue-collar type of guy that we're dealing with. And therefore, probably this is where this kind of lack of quality interpersonal skills, like lack of awareness when in this kind of dating situation, it's frustrating. And I do remember this from when I was single. Like there's something about Australian men that they're like quite emotionally cagey. They don't really talk about their feelings. I think the next generation is a lot more aware. But guys in this age group, they probably had dads that were emotionally, withholding. There's that classic stereotype of the stoic Australian man. And actually, it's a huge problem. Like in many places, I guess, men not feeling comfortable to open up and talk about their feelings. And so the rates of, suicide and mental health issues amongst men in Australia is quite high. And I think that would partly explain it without really knowing that much about it. I think that kind of partly explains why there's just like a real lack of curiosity as well, between people. Like conversations are generally quite shallow. And I remember hearing once about someone who was in Australia who went to the US. Maybe it was like an article I read, and they said something that struck them where they visited in the US was that an opener question that people would ask would be like, "What's your story?" And we don't ask those questions in Australia. Like, we don't. I would say I come off a little weird because I do like to have those conversations with people, but it's not the norm at all. So that's my analysis of that. So if you're Australian and you're dealing with Australian single male population, maybe that's a bit validating for you. I don't know, but that has been a real struggle for us, but we have started screening better. So it's definitely helped, actually. It's made a significant difference in basically communicating to guys, like, if you're going to talk, like, when hubby talks to them, like, basically setting the standard of, like, if you're going to talk to my wife, like, put some effort in. And it's working. So back to New Year's Eve. We had this one guy lined up. We failed to find any backup options. He was really flaky in his communication. And like 2 days out, even, I think 3 days out, I messaged him and I kind of said to hubby, I was like, I'm going to go all in. Like, I really need to find out if this guy's coming to meet us. And he hadn't like checked, even looked at our messages. And I sent like three different photos of myself, like sexy photos. Not too revealing, but sexy, and basically said to him, "Hi, this girl needs a date. Just let us know if can. We just want to confirm because it's only 3 days away now." And that seemed to get his attention because he did respond pretty promptly, and he said, "Oh yeah, I'm still keen. I'm sorry, I've just been really busy." And I was like, "That's fine. Really glad you can make it. How does it sound to meet at a local bar and, just make sure we're all good to go, and then we'll go back to the room." And he didn't even read those messages. Like, he didn't even read them till New Year's Day. No, New Year's Eve. So that was like he waited 2 days to open the messages up after like literally just telling us he was free. And then he didn't even message at all. So that was that. So by the time we flew back home and from where we were visiting, so we flew back on New Year's Eve, and I said to hubby, like, I kind of feel like if he does message, it'll be like 2 hours before, because he'll, have ex he won't have it. Any other options. Like, he'll be like, "Oh yeah, I can meet you guys now." Like, he'll decide on the day, basically. But he didn't. So we got back to the hotel room, and we basically, oh, on the way. So what happened was we hopped off the plane. He still hadn't messaged. And then hubby, we kind of decided, well, why don't we just try Tinder? We haven't tried Tinder before. So we made a Tinder account literally like as we're on the transfer bus back to our car park to pick our car up. And then as we're driving to the hotel, I'm on Tinder, like swiping left and swiping right. And I got to chatting, like, so in like the half an hour car ride between the airport and the hotel, I chatted to like five different guys, and I was so giddy. Because it had started to feel like the well was drying up a little bit on the adult dating website we were using. And so I was just excited, and I kept saying to hubby, like, "Oh, there's so many fishies on here. So many more fish. There's this whole untapped pool of men that we can, explore." And so I was getting really giddy, and I'm gonna say that I started to experience what I now call hot wife fever. And hot wife fever is when I get really giddy and excited, and I just really want something to happen, and all discernment and all judgment just completely goes out the window, and I get really cheeky, and there's really nothing stopping me from getting what I want. And so hubby, so he would sit with me while I was doing all my swiping on Tinder and doing all this chatting. And basically what I would do is if it was a match, which by the way, Tinder is like, yeah, you just get that dopamine hit when it goes, it's a match, and it feels really good. And And it's a, I could see how it'd be a little bit addictive, and very shallow. Like you just want to kind of like swipe for that match. So I'm just sitting there chatting. I'm getting these matches. I would open up if we got a match. I would just say hi there, you know, whatever their name is, winky face. Did you read our bio? And I basically said on the bio, we're going to be in this particular area in a hotel room. We're looking for a guy for New Year's Eve. Come play with me. You know, want someone sexy and respectful. We matched with 30 guys in total over a couple hours. And one guy said he could do it. And he just needed to do a quick stop in at a friend's party for 20 minutes and then he would come. He goes to the party and then he messages us, I'm going to be here a while. You're probably better off finding someone else. So then I'm chatting to another guy and he's cute and he doesn't know anything about Hot Wife, but he was interested and he said he could probably make it. I didn't even check how far away he was, but it turns out he was like 40 kilometers away. I didn't realize till after. And so he's saying he's really keen and he just wants questions. And then he wanted some proof about, you know, that we were real because it all seemed too good to be true. So I made a little video for him and I was like, I am ready. So I had been like getting dressed and ready in the meantime. So I was like, everything was like really frantic. And I wore oh, I've forgotten the word now, the white dress. I wore the white dress. And purple nails, purple lipstick. I looked really good, guys. I was really feeling my sexiness. And yeah, so I made this video for him and it was really cheeky. And I was like, I can't believe you'd make me make a video for you. But here I am ready. And then he messaged back and he was like, oh, like I was not expecting that. And then he started saying things like, oh, my brother's here and I want him to come to make sure I'm safe. And he was kind of thinking we were like going to beat him up. And this is really weird. And I said to him, no, we're actually like a really friendly couple. And then I said, your brother can come like drop you off, but he's not part of it. And then he sent a picture of his brother and it kind of I made me realize they were at a pub. Like they were at a pub and he was just sat there chatting away. And I don't know if he had any intention of coming to see us. I think that he may have, I don't know. But it did make me realize in my feverish state, I'd completely lost all sense of discretion. Screening, you know, like screening for experience and like how legit a person is and how genuine they are. And I felt like a bit deflated and concerned because I was like, what if he's sitting there at this pub with all these different people and he's just showing my video and he happens to live quite close to where we live? And I felt quite regretful. And we did message him and say, by the way, I hope you're not showing these pictures and videos to people because discretion is really important to us. And he kind of changed, he sort of seemed to soften and change his tune and realized what he was doing, that we are actually people. And we're not just some like freak show novelty. And this really, it made me realize this is the thing with Tinder is people don't really they don't understand the lifestyle. Like majority of people are not going to understand the lifestyle, so they're gonna treat you like a freak show or like you're just a novel thing for them, for their own enjoyment. And I could feel the disrespect. And yeah, so then hubby said to him, like, so he actually did look at, into ways to come and meet us, and it actually turned out it was going to be like $150 Uber, and then he asked about parking, and he asked if he could stay the night. We're like, no, I don't know about parking. That's, yeah, sorry to hear that's how much an Uber costs, because yeah, not even sure if I just said it just then, it was going to be $150 in an Uber. And yeah, it just wasn't going to work out. So then I sent him another video. Hubby was like, send him another video and be like, well, sorry, it's not going to work out. I don't know why. Like, I think it was to kind of humble the guy a little bit. So I sent him another video and I looked really cute and I was like, sorry, we're not going to meet, but hope you have a really happy new year. So not long after I sent the video, he comes back with another video and he actually looked quite genuine and he was really cute and he had a lovely English accent and he said, yeah, it looks like we're not gonna meet. You guys have a happy new year. And what did he say? No, he goes like, I think, sorry, we're not gonna meet. You know, looks like it's not gonna happen. Or maybe we can meet another time. So that was that. And I don't know, it kind of like redeemed the situation for me. And there were like a few other guys that, yeah, said that they could do it. And then they pulled out pretty quickly. One guy said he was nervous. And then there was this other guy, and it was quite early on, like, so we're like checking into the hotel, and I was being a little cheeky, and like, we're surrounded by people. I'm clearly there with my partner, but I'm like on Tinder at the same time. So I was trying to be discreet, but it was pretty fun. And so there was one guy who seemed like he was going to be a sure thing, and he wasn't like very far away. And yeah, so he was in the area. I mean, looks wise, he looked all right. And he was keen and he was engaged in the conversation. And then it looked like we're going to set up a meetup. And hubby was like, hey, you've got to screen them properly. And so I was like, well, what do I ask? And he was like, well, ask what industry he works in. I've got to make sure he's not in the same industry as me. I don't want to be bumping into these people. So I asked him what industry he's in. And it was same industry as hubby, and then I asked for a little bit more detail. And would you believe that he worked for the exact same company as my husband? So this is why we screen and we don't just go meet people, because that could have been really awkward, not a very good situation. So he was okay on every other front except that he worked for the same company as hubby. So that was a little bit of a flop. So then we're kind of at, after a few guys flaked out, it's getting later in the night. I'm like, this is not going to happen. We actually had a few guys be like, I can't meet now, but I live in that area and I can come meet you when I'm on my way home after midnight. How does that sound? To which I was like, maybe. Yeah, maybe message us later. We'll see where we're at. And so we kind of getting ready to go out, and then a guy messages, and he's sort of a nerdier guy, but he looked like he had a nice face and he was tall. And he reached out and said, hey guys, I can meet you right now. And I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I didn't do any normal screening. And I'm already feeling regretful that I even have to tell this story right now. Because it wasn't good. It was really not good. I am going to tell the story. I'm going to try and tell the story cheerfully. But I am internally cringing. So the guy, basically, he met up with us, and you could see this look on his face that was like, oh, hey, like, you guys are real. And he did say to us, like, he was mostly coming to meet us because he wanted to see if it actually was real, because he thought we were like a bot. And so he was like pleasantly surprised to find that we were real. And then we found a good place to sit and have a drink. And I'm really mindful while I tell this story. I suppose I'm mindful all the time when telling these stories that if these guys were ever to stumble upon the podcast, I wouldn't want them to feel so exposed or that negative things are being said. So I want to make it really clear, this guy was a lovely guy. He was lovely. He was highly intelligent. He was in a well-paying job. He was a decent guy. He was well-traveled. But as far as the hot wife fantasy goes, he wasn't an ideal candidate. But we went along with it. For me, I was in that feverish state of like, I am getting my New Year's Eve experience. Whether anyone likes it or not, I'm ready for it. I'm looking good. So I'm hoping I don't fall into that trap again in future because that is a recipe for disaster. And hubby was kind of just, I don't know. I think for him, it was like, look, if it goes well, if it goes well, and if it goes bad, at least we'll learn from it. So he kind of did let me take the reins. And in retrospect, was like, okay, so what lessons did we learn after it didn't go well? So we go have a chat, like a drink with this guy. Hubby kind of offered to buy him a drink, but he bought his own drink. And then he later said, like, I didn't, I have to be conscious, like, I don't want anyone to drug me or, and I was like, that's a fair point. Like, we could just be like into drugging people and taking advantage of them or whatever. So we had a really good chat. It was really nice for me to talk to like kind of a more like nerdier intellectual guy because I have nerdy intellectual aspects to my personality, and I got to like boast about some spreadsheets I'd made. If anyone likes Excel, like I was boasting about using VLOOKUP and nested if functions, and I was like describing this beautiful spreadsheet I made one time. Anyway, so we're sitting there, we're having this chat. He's showing that he's really, I don't know, he showed a curiosity around like the lifestyle. But I think for the most part, he was just going along with it to see what would happen and maybe get some sex out of it. So then hubby and I sort of started discussing things, and he said, look, I'll go outside while you chat, because I think he felt awkward. And then he just like disappeared. Like he just got up and bailed. And I was like, did he just run away? Like I kind of thought maybe he ran away out of like feeling intimidated, like he'd reached his point, his limit of how far he was going to go with this. And so we talked about it. We were like, look, let's just go ahead. Like this is what we've got. And so we went up to the room, and he looked around the room, and I think he was kind of like, it was getting really real for him. And then yeah, pretty quickly, like I kind of invited him to sit on the bed with me, and then suddenly he was like kissing me. And hubby sat down and he had his chair ready, and he sat down and he just watched. And I don't know how to say things without being, I don't know how to say things. I want to be really careful. His kissing style was not my kissing style. Can I say that? He did a bit of sucking, like he sucked on my lip. It actually hurt a little bit. And then physically, like I do like more athletic and muscular guys, and he was quite skinny. And he was a bit awkward in his approach. Like the I don't know, I was getting really like turned on by him mentally, like while we were chatting, but then translating that into being on the bed with him and fooling around with him, like it just wasn't there. And because he's, I mean, I don't think he's like an overly sexually gifted guy. I think a lot of the guys that end up being thirds and bulls and things like that, like they're guys who are good at sex, they're confident, they're like attractive guys with big dicks, and they know what they've got and they know what they're working with. And that's the ideal guy to fulfill the fantasy, right? He wasn't these things. He was lovely in his own right. Really good dude in his own right. But he wasn't this. And it made me think about the, you know, if we think back, I think to episode 2 where I talk about the dinner guy who I went to dinner with and he had his friend. Again, it was just that there's these guys who just do it for a new experience to kind of say they did it. But it's, you know, it by no means hits the mark for us in terms of fulfilling our hot wife fantasy. So we're fooling around, and I started to realize he wasn't particularly well endowed. And I was like, oh no, I didn't even think about that aspect of it. And how do I say it? Respectfully, he was really, really not well endowed, like to the degree that it was a new experience for me. Maybe I'll put it that way. I'd not come across that kind of thing before. I think there's different, I think guys who are on the smaller side have a different way of having sex. They tend to fool around with the girl a lot more. I don't know. He seemed to want to play with me. He told me that he was turned on by a girl coming, and he was very attentive to me. So he did play with me a lot. He was good with his hands. He was good with his mouth. And to be honest, I actually didn't know how to like stimulate him. I think it was the situation as well that he actually, I don't think he really got hard at any point, or maybe there was a point where I had him in my mouth where he grew a bit, but, and then he did tell me he wanted to like be inside me. I mean, I didn't even know how that was going to work. Oh, it sounds so bad. Oh, it does not sound good. It was not good. And hubby's there just watching me. And so what I did was I leaned in. I was really polite with him. And I was really like, I'm going to just, I have to see this experience through. And I really, I don't, we've put him in this position. He's put himself in this position. Let's just get whatever enjoyment we can get out of it. And then we'll just carry on with our night. So I was really kind to him. I asked him what turns him on, what he would like me to do. He, you know, at one point we were 69ing, and that was good. He, like I say, he was really good with his hands and with his mouth. And I think you would probably have to be if you don't have the other option of like pleasuring a woman with your cock. So that from that front, it was fine. And as I said, I just wanted to lean into the experience. So I kind of emphasized how good that was. I think he did make me come. I don't know. I'm not really sure. He certainly stimulated me and got me aroused from that front, but it felt like that was just my body's response. Whereas mentally I was like, oh, I've just got to stay in this. I don't really know what else I can do right now. So eventually, I don't know how long we were fooling around for, probably could have been maybe half an hour. And then he stopped and he was really sweaty as well because he was working hard for me. Like he was using his hands and he was, you know, he was exerting some energy. And oh dear. And then he kind of rolled over at one point and was like, oh, I just don't think it's going to happen. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fine. And he said, can I use your shower? So he used our shower. And then I tidied his clothes up for him. And he came back and he started to dress himself. And I wrapped myself in a towel. And he said, you guys are really good people. And I say this when I was talking to Sam in the interview. I said to him, yeah, we're actually a really wholesome couple. And then I kind of paused and I was like, apart from this one deviant thing that we do. and then hubby offered to like walk him out to the lift and he was like, no, I'm fine. And he kind of made his own way out. We haven't heard from him since. And I didn't really feel any inclination to contact him. And, you know, so I had a shower pretty soon after like And Abby was like, "You look like you were enjoying it," which surprised me. And I was like, "Look, I just had to like lean into the experience. Like there was nowhere to go. There was really, I didn't feel I had any other option to just be kind and try and enjoy it as much as I could. And then we would just move on with things. Oh, and the guy left a hickey on me. He really liked sucking. He sucked on my mouth and he sucked on my body and he left a hickey. So that's not okay." But we hadn't told him. That's the thing. Like, we have to take responsibility for the situation as well. And I just, you know, kind of had my tail between my legs a little bit and was like, oh, now I understand why we do the things we do, like why we have, you know, a screening process and why it's so important, because no hot wife experience is better than a bad hot wife experience. It's better to just enjoy the night together, get sexy, take some sexy photos, have your fun together, fantasize and find other outlets. You know, maybe it's just walking around and being sexy outside and getting guys' attention, then to have that. Can I just say that is not a good situation to have? That is, yeah, it wasn't great. I'm very blessed to have a very loving, practical hubby, because he was just like, all right, what were the lessons learned and how do you feel and what do you need? And he kind of gave me some cuddles and, you know, we reflected on it. Like I said to him, I think, you know, about hot wife fever, like it made me really optimistic about, you know, what could potentially happen. New Year's Eve, like those festive seasons where people are normally really busy, probably not a great time. You're probably not going to find a good quality candidate. Actually, I've written my lessons out here, so I'm just going to read off that. Sorry, lack of experience should be maybe a red flag, unless, you know, because with experience, like they don't know if they can perform in that situation. Screening for cock size is important. It is a hot wife fantasy. If, you know, for me personally, I suppose it's different for everybody. Like I need like 6 inches at least. You know, I had never come across what I came across on New Year's Eve in my life. And, you know, it did make me feel compassion to guys, because I did end up reading a little bit about like penile size and how it affects life outcomes for people and the insecurities that men have around it. And I suppose it would be like the same for like a small-breasted woman or even me, like being a curvier kind of woman whose weight fluctuates. If I'm not paying attention, like we all have things. We're born with what we're born with, and we have to do our best with what we've got, right? And he doesn't have a choice in his equipment. And you know, he did do well with his hands and his mouth, so kudos to him. And it just, I don't know, it just made me realize that that's a struggle for a lot of men are insecure about that part of them, and that there's different ways of playing with guys like that. It kind of made me think, like, you know, maybe that's what motivates some guys to get into hot wife, is they know that they can't pleasure their women through penetration, and therefore they enjoy to see their wife with somebody else. I don't know if it would maybe get him thinking about potentially doing that with a partner in future. So I do like exposing people to hot wife. There was a few guys off Tinder we're still chatting to at the moment. One guy in particular was like, I've never done this before, but I'm separated and I'm feeling adventurous. And I did tell him it's not for everybody. Not everybody can perform in these circumstances. Yeah. So screening for experience, that's why that's important. The other thing is like, places like Tinder, you know, they will treat you like a freak show, or you do not want guys turning up because of, oh, I just want to see if it's real, or I want to see what happens. Like they have to be in it for the right reason. It's like, because it's a turn on for them, that it's stimulating for them, that it really gets them off being watched, and that they have the confidence to do it. Cock size is important. I need to monitor myself when I get into that feverish state. Discretion is very important, and I kind of let that go while I was on Tinder. Quality is extremely important. quality over quantity. That's our personal feeling anyway. You know, that's what breathes, you know, like fire into the fantasy, is having a high quality experience. Not just any guy can be a quality third or bull. It's not for everybody. And it is better for our dynamic if hubby does do the screening and follows a like our screening and scouting process. So I mentioned earlier, I did make an infographic. I am going to post that infographic on Reddit. I mentioned at the end of the last episode, I have started a subreddit called The Authentic Hot Wife _. So you can find that by going to reddit.com, reddit.com/r/ The Authentic Hot Wife _, like the symbol _. I've put it in the show notes as well. If you get stuck and you need, you prefer to email, you can also email me at theauthentichotwife@gmail.com. I'm happy to send the infographic to you there. But I'll just go through it briefly. So I've split it up in terms of our scouting and screening process, like looking for candidates. I've split it up into three sections. So the first one is the dating website, where hubby goes through people's profiles, and like sometimes he'll initiate contact, sometimes others initiate contact with him after seeing our profile. So he'll check their profile for attractiveness, like whether they're muscular or athletic, if they have an attractive face, you know, like if he thinks I would find them attractive. And then he checks their profile out. So like, are they verified? Does it state that they're seeking a couple? You know, is there much information provided? Like some guys put a lot of thought into their profiles. Some guys don't. Like how genuine do they sound? You know, do they list the cock size? Sometimes they do. And are they experienced with couples? So if you know, they're looking pretty good, hubby will then commence screening with them, and he'll invite them to chat on Kick. So when he's screening them, what he's trying to gauge is their levels of respect and how engaged they are. You know, are they chatty? Are they asking questions? Are they saying the right things? Then he checks what industry they work in, what they know about hot wife. You know, have they been with a hot wife before, and how much experience they've had with couples? And then, you know, he'll explain our dynamic. He'll explain a few of our boundaries, and he'll verify them if they're not verified already. And then they do maybe a basic photo exchange. So a lot of guys don't even want to start the conversation until they've seen a face picture of me, which is fine. And then hubby will set up a group chat with me on Kick. If he's, you know, he'll often maybe send me a screenshot or show me some chats or send me a photo of the guy and be like, oh, I've set this guy up, you know, in a group chat with you. And then so I'll try to engage that guy in conversation. And again, like I'm assessing and looking for his levels of respect and engagement and his interest in me. I might try to engage him in some flirting and some playful banter just to build up a bit of like kind of a sexual and mental connection. I will verify him then at that stage if he's still not verified. And then I enjoy sharing pictures. I'm kind of mindful not to show too many of my cards too early on, and like kind of talk to him about turn-ons. I make sure that he's okay to use condoms. And like as it's going, if it looks like we're going to meet, then we discuss boundaries, like the yeses and nos. And I'm thinking I'll make another episode about that, about our rules and boundaries. I did send a couple requested to see our, you know, 34 odd rules and boundaries that we've listed. And it made me think actually that's a whole episode in itself. So we discussed boundaries, and then I explain our process, that we set up a meet and greet first before heading to the bedroom. And then we talk about availability, and I'll generally let them know, like usually Friday nights when hubby's home from work is a good time for us. And if that sounds good to them, then that sounds good to them. And otherwise I'll say like, oh, we're not meeting anyone immediately, but I'll definitely stay in touch with you. So we've got a few guys that are waiting for potential dates, which is a nice feeling because I'm like, oh, I get my pick. And as we've seen, some guys can say they can do it and then they just kind of like lose their nerve or they lose interest or, you know, whatever happens, or they make other plans that are more interesting to them. And, you know, it sort of seems like the whole build-up process, like the sourcing and screening process, it's a little frustrating. I'm hoping we'll find a way to make it more fun and that the build-up can be kind of more of a sexy, exciting build-up. But ultimately, like, we don't know if they're going to show or not until they actually do. So, yeah. Sorry. Sorry about that. I just dropped the microphone. I will post the infographic in the subreddit. I've been thinking I will make posts that are opportunities for people to come and say hi and follow up on the episode and share any thoughts that they're having. And yeah, we'll stay connected. So life's kind of going to go back to normal as of tomorrow. I'm back in my full-time job. We've had a lovely week off. It's been super fun. Oh, something I should definitely say to you is, despite the experience not going well, we still had really crazy hot sex afterwards. Like, really hot. Like, so that night we went out, we met up with some friends, we celebrated the new year after the not so great experience. And then we got back to the room and hubby, like, yeah. He had his way with me and he basically, like, yeah, sent me into a very senseless state. And fuck the fever out of me. Yeah, we were like on the balcony on the 15th floor of this hotel, just like going at it. It was hot. So it was had that kind of, you know, public risque feeling about it. And then the next day, was it the next day? I think he went to the gym and then he got home and like I was just so horny. And so we had some really intense, insane sex on the couch. It was super hot. And then again, yesterday, we just had some really hot, kinky sex. Sorry, even with a negative experience, it's still very stimulating. I think like my body knows somebody else touched me, you know, and you know, had his mouth on me, and I don't know, it's still got the juices flowing, even though it was not the most positive or satisfying experience. So yeah, that's a good ending, I think. Yeah, so look, I just think the screening process is so important. I think having a negative experience to that extent in so many, like with so many kind of aspects of it that were not at all in keeping with the fantasy, just goes to reinforce how important quality really is when you are trying to fulfill this fantasy, and that things can go wrong, and then that's fine because ultimately all it's for is to build your emotional and sexual connection with your partner. And that's what happened for us. Like, we're still very connected and we've still been having great sex. So yeah, but ideally we would have better memories to look back on, I suppose. But that's about it, guys. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really hope that you have a great 2021. I hope it's a good year for everybody. I hope that 2020 was the worst of it and that we start to get a greater sense of hope about what life can offer this year, that you know you're able to reconnect with people that you haven't been able to reconnect with, you're able to enjoy things that you haven't been able to enjoy for a long time, And definitely stay connected. Check out the subreddit. Send me an email. And if it takes me a while to get back to you, I do apologize. But I do love hearing from you. We both love reading your emails and your comments and receiving chats from you. That's it. Take care, everyone. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.